You're listening to The Hour of the Time, and I'm Pooh.
I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Pooh.
You're welcome.
And we go now to Phoenix for the Metal Report with Frank.
How you doing this evening, Bill?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. Well, for a short week, we had on Monday was President's Day, like everybody wants to celebrate Bill Clinton as president, but the markets were closed. But in the short week that we've had, the markets have been extremely volatile. We saw gold get beat back on Tuesday pretty severely. At one point in time, it had been all the way down to 397. It ended up closing today at just a shade above 400. Very interesting article from the World Gold Council quoting the Financial Times explained that the mutual funds are doing this. They want volatility in gold. They don't care. It makes them money. They'll sell short. They'll sell long. They'll play paper games and get money out of it. And that's probably what we're seeing as far as the Dow goes as well. It, on Tuesday, took some serious nosedives. It had been like 250 points down of where its high was last week at one point in time, and it pretty much had retraced back to close at 56.08. Came across a very interesting article references the $100 bills. They were stating that $350 billion in paper is what's out there. Okay? That's not a whole lot. $350 billion in paper.
That's nothing.
That's nothing. $209 billion of that are $100 bills. 59%. They were explaining, well, this is why they're starting with the hundreds. Makes sense to me, because that's the vast majority. If you're going to go ahead and pull a stunt, do a devaluation, you're going to start there. But what's absolutely amazing is you do the math. We've got, what, a debt of $4.7, almost $5 trillion owed to a private bank on only $350 billion worth of paper contracts. That's 8%.
Yeah, if your,
9%.
If your economy is working as it should, your debt should never be more than the money in circulation.
Exactly. Okay, so obviously everything's out of kilter. We've still got this whole March 1 deadline, as you pointed out the other evening. No record, nothing in the news about that. Everything is just fine and rosy as far as the talking heads on the television are concerned. It's just nothing's been done. We're still in a position of having, in essence, no agreement.
You know something else that proves? That their own publicity about the amount of money that they can loan based upon reserves on deposit is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
They're loaning way beyond.
Well beyond. Well beyond. Everything that they do is a lie. You know, with all their machinations and stuff that they come up with, it's absolutely amazing. What I have a hard time grasping is the vast amount of people there that do not accept the fact, do not accept reality or the truth. No, that can't be. In the media denial, cognitive dissonance, turn it all off. It'll go away. It's absolutely flabbergasting. I paid my electric bill today, and I brought some Federal Reserve notes in there, and gee, a lot of them were stamped, this is a worthless security, and it's like people look at this, and, well, it's true, everybody that I seem to come in contact recognizes this, but they just accept it, and they shouldn't accept it. They should do something about it, because they don't realize the pain and suffering that's going to cause them, as it did in the Soviet Union, when they went ahead and devalued their currency overnight. 156,000% overnight is what it lost in value.
Yeah, it was never worth much to begin with.
You know, at least people that had pensions and stuff, they had something, then, overnight they had nothing.
Yeah, and these people don't understand. People in America just don't understand. They've had it so good. They can't conceive that anything could go wrong. They've already raped the pension funds.
Yes. It's all gone. For all those government employees out there, you were going to use your pension money, you thought about it, and you thought, well, I guess I could borrow against it, I could do this, I could get some gold. Well, you can't do that now because you don't have any pension money.
Yeah. Not only that, but the whole thing was a scam. They sent those people home from the government and used that as a fear tactic to the nation.
Mm-hmm.
All the while, those people who were sent home knew that they were going to be paid whether they were there or not. So why did they send them home?
Here's something very, very interesting. Line of the firms called up. She works for the FDIC in Texas. They are laying off 2/3 of their workforce. I don't like that. There's something a little ominous about that to me.
Well, the point is that Newt Gingrich and Bob Dole and Gephardt have promised every single person who missed a day of work that they would be paid for.
Mm-hmm.
So why are they laying them off?
That's what's ominous about it. And this is the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, okay, that's laying off 2/3 of its workforce. Now, these are the people that are, this is the firm that's supposed to be there for when the banking system has problems, that you don't lose your savings or your money in a checking account or whatever in a bank.
Well, you have to remember that's one report from one person, and in my book, it's got to be at least two from people who don't even know each other.
No, I agree, but this is, she had no vested interest in deception as far as this goes. I mean,
also, that is a private corporation. You were aware of that.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a part of the government.
Oh, exactly, but still, it's indicative of, something's in the wind. That's the thing. And I tried to call the Federal Reserve to get some information, some confirmation on some stuff that had come across the internet. And I was like, where'd you get that? And they wouldn't acknowledge it. Well, we won't be releasing that till after the end of the first quarter. Well, the nature of this information after the first quarter, it's a moot point. It's absolutely pathetic, and that really riled me, so I just had to call Washington and lodge a complaint against the Federal Reserve. That's going to do anything. All my senators, they need to be audited. Somebody's got to do something. Rant and rave a little bit, at least made me feel better. Got me on another list. Just what I needed.
Well, good, and I won't be lonesome on that list.
Bill, I'm on so many right now. Mr. DeConcini actually had me followed around for a while. I had irritated him so badly. Before I knew better, I wrote him very nasty letters about his change in stance on gun control, and I used his own words against him. I used his own Senate reports, and he wasn't real happy about that. I thought I was getting a little paranoid till they flashed their badges. It's like, well, what are you going to do? You just keep on trucking, and then don't let them intimidate you.
That's right.
I didn't, and they went away because we weren't doing anything wrong. But yes, there's a lot of things that are going on out there that people just have no concept of reality. Like, that discussion what you had last night with people in Louisiana and in Brunswick. That's got to stop.
Yes.
Got to stop. And if more people do like they did with that other gentleman and make it stop, we'll actually get somewhere.
That's correct.
That's what organization is all about. What you've been talking about is exactly 100% correct. People got to start working together. And
that's right. But that doesn't mean, it's not like Rodney King says, why can't we all get along? There are some people that we can't work with,
mm-hmm.
Period.
Exactly. There's some people that shouldn't be worked with.
Right.
People that are just flat out crazy.
That's right.
And they're looking for a fight. But if we can get the rational people to work together, we can get a bunch accomplished.
That is correct.
We can stop.
Yeah.
Because I talk to a lot of people every day, and they're paranoid. They don't want to give a phone number. They don't want to talk about this on a telephone. It's real. I mean, what difference does it make?
Well, I use that. Because when they tell me that, then I say, how can you tell me that there's nothing wrong if you're afraid that you're going to get on a list in America? If you're afraid that your government's going to find out who you are? How can you tell me there's nothing wrong?
They can't.
That's the biggest indication that everything is wrong, when Americans in this country are afraid of their own government.
Well, and then the bottom line is they shouldn't be, because we outnumber them. I mean, we should recognize this agenda, but we, working together, can stop that agenda and change it. The people got to start working together. We had a thing that we did this past weekend in the desert. We do some shooting competitions that are very worthwhile and informative, and turn out to be very educational as well. We had a nice turnout, and we do this fairly frequently, and people learn a lot of good stuff, and they get a lot of real good practice in. It's very worthwhile. But more and more people, we can just get out and do this and start working together, we get a lot more accomplished. I just, you know, it's unfortunate that there's so many people that they only care about themselves, and how does it benefit them?
Yeah. No. Yeah, you're right.
No, that's the sad part. But every once in a while, you know, you come across, you know, the Richard Martins, well, as well, of course, that's a rather common name, but the Andes and the rest of them, the very rational people out there that got to get together, that it's like, that really reinforce your faith that, yeah, we can beat this. And then, you know, then you get your clowns, but, you know, like we talked about, you don't worry about them because they're not going to last long. And they're just going to be a way for us to get away. It's an unfortunate reality like we discussed, but it's a reality.
Yep.
So that's about where we're at. We're, you know, on our way back up in the metals market. Expect a lot of volatility for a period of time because the mutual funds are going to be playing their games. Take advantage of the low spots. Just get it done because it's happening, and happening very, very quickly. That's all I can say. And we just take it from there. And just, I hope that as many people can get involved in this and get protected as possible before it gets very expensive. And it's going to get very expensive.
Okay.
All right, sir.
Thank you, Frank.
You have a good evening. We'll talk to you later.
Okie doke.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows that the fight was fixed. The poor single kids get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows that the boat is leaking. Everybody knows that the captain's mad. Everybody got this broken finger like a bottle of a dog just died. Everybody popped into their pockets. Everybody wants a box of chocolates and the dog's damn rules. Everybody knows.
Well, folks, I think last night may have given some of you a little hope. I pray that that is so. The Miami Herald, final edition, Friday, February 16th, 1996. Orbiting eyes and sky may spy on convicts. Sex offenders would be among felons tracked by new electronic watchdog. How many years have they been telling me that nobody would ever be tracked by a satellite? Here it is, right here. Right now, they have the technology. They're putting it out to the prisons. Prisoners will be the first ones implanted or hung with a device where they will be tracked for 24 hours a day, every day, by satellite. And someday, they will have the capacity to monitor everybody on this earth in some manner, most likely by satellite. Got a couple of postcards. Actually, folks, I've been doing mail all day long. Just finished just a little while ago. All day long. You cannot believe the volume of mail that we are getting. It is incredible. I already know that this broadcast has the largest shortwave audience of any broadcast in the world. It's already been proven and admitted by everybody. And I got some figures from some magazines who polled their readership. And more people who read those magazines, I'm not going to mention those magazines because I don't want to sell magazines for them. More people that read those magazines listen to this broadcast than listen to Rush Limbaugh, or Chuck Carter, or Tom Valentine, or anybody else. I thought that was incredible. But it's a... They're magazines that cater to a large readership of our kind of people. And that's probably why it comes out that way. But this card says, just in case you're not aware of it, Louis Farrakhan believes he's being guided by a huge spaceship above Earth piloted by the late Elijah Muhammad. Does anybody know if that's true? Because if that's true, if that's true, I'm not even going to say it. Here's another postcard. The caller you bawled out for citing a rumor of a C-130 transport in Billings, Montana, may deserve an apology, sir. At exactly 11 a.m. Sunday, February 18th, a C-130 took off from Billings Logan Airport, flying a course of 90 degrees exactly east. The plane, viewed via good binocs, had no markings, though the thin gray paint revealed traces of markings underneath. Well, I don't know where this guy's coming from, because I never bawled anybody out about a C-130 transport in Billings. I did abruptly hang up on someone who was alleging that a SEAL team had executed 30 BATF officers. Had nothing to do with the C-130. Nothing whatsoever. I didn't dispute that. I don't care about a C-130 sitting on an airstrip in Billings, Montana. It's just an airplane. Can't hurt anybody sitting there on the ground in Billings, Montana. Some of you guys freak out over nothing. Now, if it's in the air and it's got guns poking out all over the place and it's shooting down at the ground, that's when you get worried. But there's nothing to be worried about. A C-130 in the United States that belongs to the United States is one of our planes. Hi, Chihuahua. And I certainly didn't get upset about the C-130. What bothered me was that somebody would even bother to give any serious consideration for even 1 second that a United States Navy SEAL team would be shooting 30 Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms agents. Oh, boy. Let me see here. I got some neat stuff here. This is from a book called Philip's Dark Secret, which was published not too long ago. And has some revealing stuff in here about the royal family and Prince Philip in particular. And I'm really not interested in Prince Philip and the British royal family, but it's revealing about what goes on in a little place in California called the Bohemian Grove. That I am very interested in, and you should be also. Time and again, those close to the royal family have admitted that according to the royals themselves, the sin is not in doing something morally wrong, but in being found out. In other words, the end justifies the means. In his bid to enjoy his life with as little risk as possible, Philip sought to be invited overseas where he could behave with far more freedom. A favorite jaunt involved the famous Bohemian Grove, deep within the California Redwoods. 65 miles north of San Francisco, each summer, 1,000 or more very important persons, VIPs, the decision makers and opinion molders of the Western world, meet in mid-July to relax, attend lectures and debates, and enjoy themselves, for 3 weeks. And they do more than that. They have some very peculiar pagan religion ceremonies, which involves a large fire, an owl sitting in a tree, all of them dressed in black robes, and they burn an effigy of care. For decades, the Bohemian Grove retreat was the major social event of America's male power elite and their overseas friends. And for decades, those who attended went in secret. Another reason Philip, as well as many others, loved to join them. In the 1970s, when Philip visited, members included Ronald Reagan, George Bush, George Shultz, Caspar Weinberger. Former presidents Nixon and Ford were also members, as well as many of America's wealthiest businessmen. I have a photograph, ladies and gentlemen, of Bush, Nixon, Ford, and Carter, all around the fire, dressed in their black robes, circumambulating this fire while burning an effigy of Care. An owl is hanging in the tree, and they're wearing these very strange little amulets around their neck. It's all very indicative of a Druid or Celtic ceremony. Let me continue this, though. Former presidents Nixon and Ford were also members, as well as many of America's wealthiest businessmen, including David Rockefeller, William Randolph Hearst Jr., Hamburger King Ray Kroc, and the recluse Daniel Ludwig. Herbert Hoover called Bohemian Grove the greatest men's club in the world. The 2,700-acre grove on the banks of the Russian River in Northern California comprises 128 small camps, each operated by 20 or 30 members. These camps bear such names as Wild Oats, Woof, and Toyland. The claim to fame of President Reagan's camp, Owl's Nest, is a gin fizz breakfast. Another camp nearby boasted a fine collection of erotica. Most of the time, members sit around and chat, discuss politics, business, and make deals. They also hunt, fish, or just stroll around. Urinating on the trees is one of the big things. Everything I've ever read about the Bohemian Grove is the fact that these men will not go to a restroom. They love to urinate on the trees. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, if you're out in the woods and you've got to go, you've got to go. But if the restroom is 3 feet from where they're standing, they won't go there. That's what I'm trying to get at. It's a ceremony of some kind. Maybe because they have to wear these pinstripe suits and be so polite and everything in their normal business dealings, maybe it's just a way to let loose. They also hunt, fish, or just stroll around, going from camp to camp for a drink, a meal, and a chat. Women are not permitted anywhere near the grove. Even the waiters and kitchen staff are all male. One reason women are banned is that a number of members jump the river when visiting the grove. They quietly leave the sacred enclave in favor of a trek to nearby Gurneyville. More than 10 bars await them in the sleepy rural town, all bursting with high-class prostitutes who come from all over America and some from overseas, especially for the profitable Bohemian trade. One of the more notorious such taverns is Northwood Lodge, operated by a Ugandan named Manu Kanani. He freely admits that girls flood the town solely for the three-week bash and earn small fortunes. According to Kanani, these were high-class girls, no streetwalkers. These girls were very sophisticated, very experienced. Kanani acknowledged that a photographer staying at nearby Hexagon House had his arm broken by a Texan rancher when he attempted to photograph bar patrons. He also remembers Prince Philip coming to his bar and enjoying one of the girls. "Of course I recognized him," he said. "I'm a Ugandan. I know what the Queen of England's husband looks like. There were pictures of him all over Uganda." Convicted San Francisco Madam Brandy Baldwin revealed how she supplied prostitutes, champagne, and entertainment to Bohemian members. "I did the Bohemian for 10 years. They were such beautiful people, very generous. In the beginning, I was working out of motels with just a few girls, but it got to be so much fun that I rented a little house in the woods, a beautiful little place. The girls used to bring all their fancy underclothes so they could do little shows, and the gentlemen just loved it." But she had no recollection that Philip ever came to one of her shows. There were other overseas parties Philip loved to attend, but that's the end of the Bohemian Grove part. And I just wanted to sort of acquaint you a little bit with the Bohemian Grove. It is for the in crowd of the Illuminati. This is, let me see here. This is from the Something Times. I wish you guys would write better. It's CHA Something Times. Saturday, July 22nd, 1995. It's a column by Maureen Dowd. Oh, here we go. It's from the New York Times News Service. There we go. Got to make sure you get that reference. New York Times News Service. And it was published in the Something Times. Maybe it was the Chattanooga Times or something. Saturday, July 22nd, 1995. A column written by Maureen Dowd, spelled D-O-W-D. Is Newt Gingrich too cute? That's the title of the column. But here's what's interesting, folks. With Dog Ate My Homework panache, and I'm skipping a whole bunch of this. With Dog Ate My Homework panache, he explained that he had been imitating a scene in the Alan Drury novel, Advise and Consent, when the U.S. president bluffs the Russians by telling them he's going to recognize Red China. Actually, it was the vice president, in truth. He said he was still learning. This is Newt Gingrich talking. He said he was still learning. Or they're talking about Newt Gingrich is what it is. He said he was still learning about complicated foreign stuff and that nice Dr. Kissinger, who gave him a stern lecture about the Taiwan slip, was going to teach him. I don't do foreign policy, the speaker said in the interview, but his inner child must be an internationalist since he turned around and gave his first major foreign policy address. As top ambassadors and foreign policy experts scribbled notes, he burbled that Americans ought to be back on the moon and Mars. The last time we went through a coming-of-age saga with a top official was the education of Dan Quayle. But at least Quayle was a believable candidate. Gingrich's sudden burst of innocence reminds me of Oscar Levant's quip about Doris Day, quote, I knew her before she was a virgin, end quote. Gingrich got to the top through sophisticated and ruthless infighting. But the revolutionary is suddenly the acolyte of the establishment, agog at being coached by intellectual party animal Henry Kissinger. This weekend, he will join the happy campers at Bohemian Grove, the exclusive men's club in Northern California that has, over the years, offered power tents and camp valets to such Republicans as Kissinger, Ronald Reagan, George Bush, David Rockefeller, and George Shultz. The camp is a Saturnalia of juvenilia, with a lot of old, white, rich guys running around naked and in sheets, costumed as druids. You see, I was right. They drink dawn to dusk gin fizzes, relieve themselves on redwoods, right again, and put on theatricals where they dress up like women. Now you talk about some mixed up people. Oh my goodness. I asked Tony Blankley, Gingrich's spokesman, why the Paul of the Millennium was going to Old Guard headquarters. Quote, even Newt pays his obeisance to the establishment, which he is trying to change, end quote, Blankley replied. Change my foot. Change my foot. How about that? Does that open your eyes a little bit, folks? Also, on the subject of the socialist propaganda branch of the Internationale, a la the United Nations, Radio for Peace International. I shall illuminate you a little bit about what their version of peace means. You see, they're socialists. They get their definition from Karl Marx. Most of them who follow this Marx guy don't even know that Marx was a screaming racist who hated the common man. Literally hated the common man. He hated Jews. He hated blacks. He hated everybody. It was a terrible guy, this Karl Marx. And if you don't believe that, read, folks, the dialogues, the written dialogues between Marx and Friedrich Engels. You see, you have to understand what the socialist definition of peace and peacekeepers really is. Karl Marx is sort of regarded as the father of socialism, even though realistically he's not. But they give him the credit for that. He was an anti-Semite Frankist. He had an alias called Levi Mordecai. He was the stooge of a capitalist textile baron named Friedrich Engels. And he said this, quote, "The meaning of peace is the absence of opposition to socialism," end quote. Let me say that again so that you understand it. Quote, "The meaning of peace is the absence of opposition to socialism." The meaning of peace is the absence of opposition to socialism, end quote. And now you know what UN peacekeepers really are. Now you know what Radio for Peace International is really all about. And you know why they lie so much. Write that down. You need to remember that. It's important. Also, we've been checking Glenn Hauser's World of Radio archives on the internet, and the tape where he slandered me is number 834, and they're usually posted every Monday. Well, this one is not posted, ladies and gentlemen. It's not posted because he knows if I get my hands on it, I'm going to plant his feet right square in front of a judge, and then I'm going to own his World of Radio. When are these guys ever going to learn? You know why nobody sues me, ladies and gentlemen? Because I don't say anything I can't back up. The Oklahoma City Federal Transfer Center is a brand new installation, just opened its doors. Already there are two dead prisoners. Both, guess what, folks? Guess what happened to these two prisoners? Both just being transported back to somewhere where they're supposed to go in front of a judge for minor charges. Not even anything real big. nothing worth really getting all worked up about. But they both hung themselves with a sheet in their cell. And these deaths occurred a couple months apart. So, they're already killing prisoners in the Federal Transfer Center in Oklahoma City, murdering prisoners. Both of them had been beat, a la Joe Love, to within an inch of their life and probably were dead before they hoisted them up and hung them by the sheet. Isn't it something? The nation has been in the hands of insane criminals like Schumer. Boy, if you people in New York don't get it together and get Schumer out of our Congress, no telling what he's liable to do next. He's just introduced a bill, ladies and gentlemen, to outlaw all bolt-action rifles that have a scope. So when they come to check your rifle, take your scope off. Or better yet, let's pass a law outlawing anybody from New York named Schumer. And now I'm getting more stuff from crazy people. This time it's Ron Jackson. Ron Jackson is a well-known con man, criminal. Been in and out of jail many times. And he saw a method to get a lot of people to help him out of jail last time. He got an early parole off of this. Because all of you people bought his scam and went rushing in and testified on his behalf. And it's not going to do any good. This guy is the definition of recidivism. He has put out this phony, and I mean absolutely phony from the first word to the fake scratched out signatures on the back affidavit, which says, I hereby certify that I make the following statement of my own free will and do so under the penalty of perjury. I'm an attorney employed by the United States Justice Department. My place of employment is Constitution Avenue in 20th Washington, D.C. I am a 7-year employee of the United States government. On February 20th, 1995, I was asked to be a part of a team that was to prosecute a group of terrorists who had blown up a government facility. This group was represented as being a training exercise that would develop into an autonomous branch of the Justice Department. It's a lie. This whole affidavit is a lie. The signatures, if you look at them, you can't see anything of the signatures except the bottom loops and some of the top. They were all written by the exact same person. You see, we took this, even though the signature is gone, enough is there of those loops that a handwriting expert at the University of Arizona assured us that they were all written by the same person. Guess who that person was? We also have a sample, ladies and gentlemen, of the signature of the person who did it. Let me tell you something. Anybody can come out. I can do it tomorrow. I can come out, type up anything I want to, scribble some stuff, and then put some paper over it, and then Xerox some copies and send them out and tell you that these are sworn affidavits by President Clinton or Colin Powell or anybody I want to. And most of you will put it on your fax network and send it all around, and you'll all believe it. It's amazing. Some of you won't, but most of you will. I know this because I watch it happen all the time. Any document that has not got a clear, legible signature, that you can find the person who wrote that signature, and they will say, yes, I wrote that signature, and this is my affidavit, is nothing. It's not proof. It's not evidence. It's not a document. It's not an affidavit. It is bullshit. All you guys in Delano, California, put that in your pipe and smoke it. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. I love it. And here he's saying that some major network is going to run a story on this. And I'm telling you right now, you'll never see a story on any major network, on any affidavit signed by anybody that came from Ron Jackson. Okay, guys? Everybody understand that? Let's go to the phones. Since I was doing mail all day, that's all I got for you. Actually, I got something else here, but I don't have time to do it. It's kind of long. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow night. How many of you love a mystery? Well, I got one for you. We'll talk about it tomorrow night. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Cooper, I forgot to turn the radio off. Let me try it back in a couple minutes.
All right. Well, at least he knew it. It's okay if you forget, folks, and you understand it, and you say so. But that's not what usually happens, is it? 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Some interesting information about Bo Greitz. I watched him testify before the committee on the Ruby Ridge incident, and one of the things he said was that the militia were like hives on the body politic. And I think he was saying something good in a way that the body politic is allergic to this alien poisonous substance that's infecting it and is reacting. But on the other hand, that's not a very complimentary reference.
No,
I thought I would pass it on to you for your comment. This is John in Vista.
Well, John, my comment is I know exactly who Bo Greitz is. He is a Trojan horse. And his comment was not meant to be good at all. He was saying it exactly as he means it, which means the militia are hives on the body politic. And what do you do with hives?
Well,
you get rid of them.
Melamine lotion, I guess.
You get rid of them, don't you?
Yes.
Well, that's what he's talking about. He's a Trojan horse. His whole job, the whole reason for his scam trial in Las Vegas and everything he has done has been to ingratiate himself with right-wing and fundamentalist Christian patriotic groups in order to pinpoint the leaders and those groups so that when the time comes, they can be rounded up. I've said that. I've been saying it for years.
I see. Well, why would he make that comment on national television where people like us...
I don't know. Why would he say to a bunch of people that he's giving a lecture to in California that... He'd been an undercover informant for the FBI since the age of 18, or for the federal government, he said, since the age of 18.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know what that means, don't you? They don't take somebody who's 18 and make them undercover anything unless it's an informant.
Uh-huh.
You're aware of that, right?
I'm not really into this. If you tell me that's how it is, I believe you.
Yeah, that's exactly how it is. You take a young man, 18, it takes several years of training and education and maturity before they put a person like that undercover anywhere. Even in police departments, they don't take somebody 18 and put them undercover. In fact, you can't even be a police officer if you're 18.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so,
if the government would start obeying their own laws, that there wouldn't be a militia.
No, there always has to be a militia in this country. Our forefathers understood what governments do. They have a tendency to gain power and become oppressive and then enslave the population. That's why they gave us the Second Article and Amendment. That's exactly why we have militias in this country. That's why we have them today, those of us who understand those principles.
Wow. Well, that's all I had.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Can't believe I got back in, Cooper.
Well, good. I'm glad you did.
I'm the guy with the big radio. This is Sam in Maryland.
What can I do for you?
Well, we had a fairly successful Second Amendment rally in the state capitol here Monday. About 1,250 people showed up, which... for this socialist state, it's pretty good. We've got over 40 anti-gun bills that are being considered in the state legislature this session.
Mm-hmm.
And looks like we might be able to beat off quite a bit of it. Then I also wanted to ask you, you going to do some follow-up on the Crawford situation from last night?
If anything develops, I don't think anything's going to develop, though. He'll eventually have to go in and answer to the misdemeanor charges that somebody has placed against him. And if they had done it properly last night, we would not have interfered. But they did not have a warrant. They did not have a judgment. They did not have a court order. They didn't have anything. They were totally operating outside the law. And for a misdemeanor, which is nothing more than a traffic violation, is a misdemeanor. I mean, if you say boo to somebody, that's a misdemeanor. They're going to surround the house with a couple of hundred people with guns and kill people over a misdemeanor?
Well, the feds had no business being there anyway.
No, you're darn right they didn't. They should have had the local sheriff's deputy go down and politely knock on the door and say, you know, somebody's filed this complaint against you. Let's talk about it. That's the way decent people do those things. Nobody's going to shoot anybody over a misdemeanor.
And I thought I would mention to you, too, Swiss America also sponsors boat rights.
I've known that for years. I don't tell Craig who to be friends with. I don't tell anybody who to be friends with. I just tell them what I know, and they have the freedom. You see, I believe in freedom.
Well, I realize that.
And I might be the only person in this country who really believes in it.
But I just thought it was us. It was the first time I heard their ads in conjunction with this show. So.
No, it's not odd. Greitz has a manner that is convincing, and when he puts on that uniform with that chest full of medals, people love him. They don't even listen to what he says. They just love him. And there's not a darn thing I can do about that.
No, Reagan, not. Well, you take care.
Okie doke. 520-333-4578. Folks, I believe wholeheartedly in freedom. I don't believe in interfering with anybody's freedom of any kind under any circumstances, period, unless they are injuring me or my property. And then you better watch out. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Maybe you can help me with this thing. I was listening to John and you on the Mauser modification last night.
That wasn't last night.
Well,
night before.
Before last, yeah. And I couldn't get in on the phone. What's the reason on the Winchester Model 70 not being desirable after 1964? Is that because it's a cast bolt?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you don't have, if you're working with these high pressures and you don't have forged metal, you're flirting with death or injury.
Okay.
Are at the best end, you're flirting with a broken part that can't be replaced because you're out somewhere where you can't fix it.
Well, would you say that's true of one that's produced after 64 that's in that caliber, in a 375 caliber? Or did they manufacture that after 64?
What specifically are you asking about?
Well, I mean, I have a chance to get a Winchester Model 70 in a 375 caliber, and I'm not sure what the year of manufacture it is.
Oh, well, then you can check with the serial number.
Okay.
Go to any gun shop. They have a book there, and take the serial number with you and tell them you want to know what year that weapon was made.
Okay.
And they can tell you. But if they can't tell you, call the factory. Call the Winchester people, and they'll tell you.
Okay. There's a shop up in Huntington Beach up here that has Swedish and Turkish Mausers for sale.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if those fall in the category of being a good Mauser action.
Oh, I wish John was here for that question, because I don't know anything about Swedish or Turkish Mausers, but I can tell you this. If the action is a large ring Mauser action and it's forged steel, yes.
Okay, that was my third question.
If it's the small ring or any other kind of action, I would not recommend it.
Okay, how do you identify a large ring Mauser action?
Okay, go down to a gun shop where they have a good selection of bolt-action rifles and ask the guy to show you one. Okay. Ask him to show you exactly what the difference is between a large ring and small ring and the other types of actions.
Okay, I'll do that.
Don't tell him that you don't want to buy a gun, because he won't spend any time with you.
Mm-hmm.
Just act like you want to buy a gun and tell him to explain those things, and he'll explain them.
Okay.
and then if you like a gun, buy it. And if you don't, you can thank him for his trouble and leave.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill.
Yes.
Yeah, what your caller was talking about a while ago, the Winchesters were junk for a while from the 1964 models until about 1980 or 81 when they were bought out by U.S. Repeating Arms. When U.S. Repeating Arms took over the outfit, they reverted back to the forged steel receivers. They did this on a number of their guns, including their lever guns like the Model 94 series.
Uh-huh.
They got away from those cheap investment castings, and they went back to good forging. So Winchester now offers you a good claw extractor like the Mauser Action came up with, of course, years ago, as well as forged steel receivers.
Oh, that's another thing I forgot to tell him. You've got to have a good, good, strong, thick extractor, not any of those thin, cheapy or ring jobs or any of those things. With
the Mauser-type claw extractor is the only way to fly it. The only current modern or domestic bolt-action rifle they still use as investment castings, let's say, for a receiver is the Ruger Model 77. Both the Remingtons and the Winchesters do employ forged receivers. Remingtons I have found to be extremely accurate, but their only weakness, again, is that flimsy little extractor that they have. If they were to revert back to the extractors that they had in the old 721 and 722 series, then they'd have a whale of a firearm on their hands. It's a great gun, but that's their only weak point.
Mm-hmm.
But they do, both in the Remington and the Winchester, they do employ forgings since U.S. Repeating Arms bought out the Winchester firm around 1980 or 81. And you can tell the difference, basically, if the finish that you have on your Winchester, as well as checking with the little date books to see what the date of manual.
Always check. If you don't know, if you're not an expert on weapons, don't ever take anything for granted.
Right, and check to see that generally the cheapy ones, the ones with the investment cast receivers, had like an anodized or painted on finish, because castings will not take a regular blue. You can't blue a cast receiver. So they have like a sprayed on or an anodized finish. But a forging, you can tell. If you know anything about metallurgy, you can tell that. But again, if in doubt, check the date book on that thing and see if it was. And of course, check the markings on the gun itself. If it says U.S. Repeating Arms, then it's one of the new modern ones that does have the forged receiver. And of course, the ones they've been making for the last several years, most of them, not all of them, but most of them, have reverted back to the good claw extractor.
Uh-huh.
So I highly recommend those, but stay away from the Boss guns that have that adjustable compensator, because the problem is you need someone like a special gunsmith, which there are a couple of them here in Houston who have a good, like George Baez and Wayne Barnett, who have good compensators that blow the gases forward. Those Boss systems with their factory compensators blow the gases straight out, and it increases your muzzle blast tremendously. And if you're not wearing hearing protectors, it'll deafen you. So you want to stay away from those Boss rifles. They're very accurate, but you melody in
nothing could make the sound of a 375 Wildcat louder, believe me.
Well, an improperly designed muzzle brake sure can, because it directs the gases back toward the side where the shooter is, and it makes it really rough. You can get a properly directed muzzle control device that directs those gases forward, and it'll help reduce the recoil and cut down on the muzzle blast as well.
Well, I've got one that works just perfect.
Yeah, there are a lot of other good calibers, though. The only thing I have against your 375 is that for a lot of people, that's just too much thump for someone to be shooting it on an all-day basis.
Well, we don't make any pretensions that it's for everybody.
Right.
And that's why we had the second broadcast for those whom it's not for.
There are a lot of good calibers out there, like from, let's say, 243 Winchester out to 300 Winchester Magnum, that with the right load and the right gun and the right scope can easily reach out 600 yards and more.
Yeah, that's true.
Good calibers out there.
That's true, if the person is a good marksman.
Right.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
520-333-4578. Well, I'm a big guy, and that weapon is just right for me. I love it. I absolutely love it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Yes.
This is Mike in New Iberia, Louisiana.
Hello, Mike.
It's the first time I talk to you. I'd like to say I've read your book, and like also to say I listened to you last night and was surprised to hear that there was something going on over here, probably not 50 miles from where I live. And
Calcutta.
Where was that?
Calcutta.
I'm not familiar with that.
Well, it's your state.
Yeah, that's true.
Is your radio on?
Yeah, it's in the other room.
Goodbye. 520-333-4578. Folks, you know, good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. There's something I'd like to address concerning the Patriot movement. I've experienced a lot of really negative situations with a lot of these different folks.
Like what? What are you talking about?
Well, for instance, when trying to get involved with political activity, like here in Florida, we're dealing with the immigration problem.
Uh-huh.
I've actually run into patriots that are scared of going to the polling booths because they believe there's radiation planted around.
Well, those aren't patriots. Those are escapees from the mental institution. You got to... I'm a patriot.
They're sick. We're trying to do something.
Yeah.
To have a positive impact.
Uh-huh.
And there's more troublemakers out there.
They're all over the place, yes, but they're, you have to understand that that's a condition of the times. People have been dumbed down and stupefied and lied to, and all this crap that's passed around that they all believe is true is enough to drive anybody crazy. But
A lot of these militia people, you know, they won't get involved in the political process.
Well, that's not true. Well, that's not true. That's not true at all. Every militia person that I know is deeply involved.
Well, you know, I'm trying to get some supporters together right now to stand on the side of the road with Buchanan signs and to hand out bumper stickers. And I'm ashamed to say the only people that'll do it are racists.
Well, if
and these people get out there, they have ties on, they dress good, they bring their kids out there, and I'm shamed to death.
Well, then why are you going to vote for a man that's supported by racists?
Well, who else is there? Tell me.
Well, I've been trying to tell you, if you've been listening to this broadcast, you haven't got a prayer in the national election. You better be concentrating on getting good people in the local and county and state who can deal with the federal government. But the federal government, the national election is rigged. If Buchanan wins every single primary, and even if he forces them to make him the Republican candidate, he'll split the party. And if that's not enough, Perot is just waiting to see if he's needed. And if he is, either he'll step up or somebody else will step up and split the conservative vote even more. Bill Clinton's going to be the next president.
Well,
this is not a guess. I'm telling you it's a fact.
Well, you don't know that.
I know it absolutely.
And the same people that told you that are the same people that
nobody
thought he wouldn't win in New Hampshire.
Nobody told me that. Nobody told me that. Nobody tells me anything. I make my own decisions based upon fact.
You know, and a lot of these so-called patriots are terrified to deal with the race issue.
Wait a minute. Are you a patriot?
Yes, I consider myself a patriot.
Then why are you running down patriots? Some of the people that you know who call themselves patriots are jerks. That does not mean... Good night. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill?
Yes?
Those Bohemian Grove urinators you were talking about earlier.
Yes.
A number of them have gone over and been knighted by the Queen of England.
I know that.
Bush, Kissinger... Schultz.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
British Israelism.
What?
British Israelism.
What's that?
Well, dig into it. Start studying. It's racism is what it is. It's the superior race that is supposed to control and guide the evolution of all other races. Anyway, we're out of time.
Okay, thanks, Bill.
Good night. And good night, and God bless you all.